This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome into a very special MSL edition of the BCP. Very excited to welcome back into the show with a new member. Please welcome back from Morningside Lane, Mark, Brian, Brandon, Frankie, and Dennis. Guys, welcome in. Thanks for joining us. How are you guys? Applause track.
Thanks for having us again. You know,
it's great. Thank you guys for making the time. I'm so excited just to be talking about local music, the local music scene. You know, I was telling Frank off air, I've really been watching you guys. I watched the bands that kind of, to no fault of their own, you know, through this pandemic, kind of took their foot off the gas pedal. But you guys have kept your foot on the gas pedal this whole time, writing, recording, putting out stuff, putting out an album. You guys got a new track, Temperamental, that we'll talk about in a little bit. But this is the first thing I wanted to ask you guys. Last time I talked to you, there were four of you. Today, there are five of you guys. So tell us, just pretend like he's not here. Tell us a little bit about bringing Dennis and the decision to bring in some keys and synth into the project.
Well, we always wanted to. I always envisioned us having a keyboard player. Because I always loved band. I mean, I've tons of music, tons of artists that I've been, you know, loving for a long time that have had that keyboard element.
Yeah.
So I was like, it was a no brainer for me even before I met these guys, you know? So I was like, there's gotta be keys, but it's, I don't know if you know this, Rob, but it's really, really hard to find a full-time keyboard player. That's not like that wants to do a cover, like, you know, like cover music or like just weddings or, who's not an asshole, you know?
There, so, it, is. There it is. Yep.
There it is.
Hold on.
No egos, just egos. That's what we do.
I like that. Wow. I like
no
that.
No egos, just egos.
Yeah. And then Frank found Dennis on Facebook, and then like he reached out to him. I reached out to him, and it was during the summer. It was right around this time Glass Skin came out. So we had stuff going on, and there was like no shows going on either. So there was no urgency to really get together with him first. Until, you know, September rolled around, and then we're like, okay, we're writing new stuff. And yeah, it, like the new stuff kind of tailors more to, you know, pop, synth, and, you know, all that jazz.
Apparently, that's really good to hear. And I was saying to you guys, like earlier off air, I was like, you know, sometimes, and a lot of bands, you know, through the pandemic have replaced members or switched members. I see it all over, and I understand, you know, the world's been crazy. And even though that's a common story all the time in band, let's be real, but you guys have stayed together through this. You've put your foot on the gas the whole time. You've added a member. And I told you guys, I'm like, sometimes, you know, when you add the keys, like sometimes it doesn't always work. It depends on what kind of band you are and stuff. And I told Frank, when I listened to the track, I'm like, this works. And I'm not just saying that because you guys are on the show. Like, it really works. It adds something to it. It kind of, like you guys said, takes you a little bit more into that pop realm, a little bit like that. So, Dennis, I'll throw it to you, man. What was your thought process when the guys reached out to you and working with Morningside Lane?
It was amazing. In the beginning, I was new to the area, and I was just looking for somewhere to play. And then the whole Facebook story of Frank can tell that more in detail because it's actually pretty funny what happened. But I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit. I came into the rehearsal and it was good vibes. It was a fantastic team playing from the first day on. Of course, I was nervous, as you know. But that's just the way that it is, because it was a trial, of course. And, you know, you're trying to get to know each other and see what is this about, and how are the people, but we clicked, and we just it really has been a continuation of that ever since. Like every rehearsal, we find out a little bit more about one another, or every time even we get together, and some things just align completely. Some things we might disagree on, like Blink 182 or ABBA, but that's okay too. You know, we all have our differences, but we all take it in a good way, if you know what I mean. And that shows to me. It's just a good environment. It's a good environment to work on songs, to work on new music, and they always make me feel very welcome.
Very well said. That's amazing. And something I also pay attention to with bands, or not just bands working through this pandemic, but kind of like that brotherhood that you guys have. Like, I'm close with a lot of bands, obviously, in the area. And I noticed the ones that are like, hey, it's Wednesday. Like, we go out for burgers on Wednesday. And, you know, they'll invite me sometimes. And I'm just like, Like, this is what a band should be, man. It is a family. It's a cliche. And I see that in you guys. You know, I'm talking to Frankie scheduling this. He's like, yeah, we usually get together Tuesdays. We usually have our meetings on Tuesday. I'm like, I like these guys. Talk to me a little bit about that brotherhood. You guys can have a little guy love here. Talk to me a little bit about that.
This is a huge bromance.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's like, I guess we've been through, you know, bands in the past. I mean, I've been in the, like, you know, the Morningside Lane name has been, you know, around for a long time, but like, I just think that, you know, every bands have lineup changes and all that stuff. But I feel like we've been through the ringer enough where we understand what works and we understand what doesn't work. And we understand, you know, how to act and not to act and how to address things and how to not address things. And, you know, there's things that we disagree on, but at the end we all come together. We all kind of sit down and try to, because we're at the point where like, we don't want any of that. We don't want any of that kind of just like bullshit.
I get kinda, that.
Yeah. Where it just, it's like the beginning of the end, you know, and we don't want that. And we know what we have. And at this point, you know, we're all in our 30s now. So it's like, we treasure and appreciate these types of relationships a little bit more, you know?
Wow. Very well said, man. And I totally get it. Like, where I am as far as like the local music stuff, you know, like I always tease, like Max and I are free agents and stuff like that, man. And everyone has just been so like welcoming and like, oh, like, hey, you know, we need someone. Can you join us? And I'm very hesitant because of all those reasons, like to commit to anything. I'm like, hey, you need someone to fill in. I'm there. You need someone to record, lay down a track. I'm there. But you know, I'm very choosy, man. I've been in band since I was 16, man. And I don't know if I'm ready to make that commitment, which is why I appreciate what you guys do so much. Like it really is that family environment. Plus the product itself, I think reflects that. And when I listened to Temperamental, let's get that shameless promo out now. I told Frank, and I'm not, again, not just saying this because you guys are on the show. I'm like, this is a good track. The keys, the synth add a lot to it. Obviously, I pay attention to the drums. I love the beat, love the vocals. It's just a good blend, good vibe. I got some Killers vibes in there, you know, some 80s kind of vibes. It's really, really good. And I said to Frank, I said, this is very radio friendly. And Frank, you were telling me that this was getting some recognition on the pop charts and in clubs and such stuff of that matter.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's all these things that you could do to like, you know, promote your music other than like social media platforms. And, you know, there's this one platform called Digital DJ Pool, where basically it's one of the biggest hubs for DJs where they kind of go and DJs actually pay a subscription to be on there. We are able to upload music. We have like, you know, like 5 free songs because we go through DistroKid to release our music. So we were able to put it. And I just ended up, I put Temperamental on there because I, you know, I'm just scrolling through DistroKid and I'm like, this could be cool. So I like put it on there. And then in 24 hours, I texted the boys and I'm like, guys, this is like gaining some traction. Like,
wow,
it's gotten downloads. It's gotten engagements. I mean, it got over 1,000 engagements within 24 hours. And then Brian actually was the one who looked at, he looked at it more like intently on like his desktop, because I was using my phone, and he saw that we were on like the trending site, and this was like a day or two ago. And I'm like, oh man, like that's pretty crazy. So we like diving in, like, you know, cause sometimes if it's like, it's trending, you're not really sure, like, where is it trending, you know?
Yeah.
So long story short, today I looked on it, and in the pop charts for this Digital DJ Pool platform, we're number 2 now, and it's trending in the pop genre. It's crazy, and it's been played in 7 clubs in the
wild
US. Yeah,
that's what I was really going for with this one.
I bet.
I will add one thing though. The just going back to that like family environment that you're talking about, just to keep, you know, with Dennis, like his skill set was never a question. You know, he came in and we were like, I mean, it clicked really, really fast. And I think the one thing that we all kind of decided was that we got so close, even during the pandemic, that it wasn't a question of his skill. It was just a question of like, we're so tight, you know. Yeah. If we bring someone in, how is that going to affect the dynamic of everything? And it's so like the stars have to align. And for some reason they aligned, and he just, I mean, this wasn't like a thing where it's like, all right, now he's kind of settling in. I mean, he's been in the band now since like the fall, and it's felt like he's been there since the start of it. It's yeah. crazy.
That's awesome. Band love. Hashtag band love. We're all about it here. That's great. And I can hear that in the music just from hearing the track. Like I can hear everything that you're saying, like the chemistry is there. We'll talk about the recording process in a little bit, but let's take a listen to the track now, guys. Anything you want to say to the fans or anyone listening about Temperamental going into this one?
Expect this is Dennis Matusha's coming out party.
Oh, I like that.
No, be ready to have some good a good summer track that's going to make you feel good, but not really make you feel good when you really read the lyrics. That's great. I love that. That's beautiful. And just enjoy the glam.
I love it. This band is literally leveling up, guys, and you always have been. So, guys, let's take a listen right now to Temperamental by Morningside Lane. All right, guys, that was Temperamental by Morningside Lane. Like I said, guys, this is a very radio friendly track. Obviously, it's already climbing the charts all over. It's trending. That's got to feel really good as a band. But as a musician, you know, I always like to put the puzzle piece together and pick things apart. Like, obviously, I go right to the drums first. But the synth really and the keys really take over in this one. This is just such a great track. So tell us a little bit about the recording process and the writing process. Like, what kind of order did you guys like write it in and then lay everything down in?
I wrote the song in February. Because I remember showing Frank in February, and it was like that snow day. It was like that big snowstorm.
Yeah.
That's when I like really started kind of killing myself over it. And you know, we had, it was a different, like, the hook was there. The hook was always there, but it was, we had a different arrangement. We definitely had a different arrangement for it. And, you know, it was pretty, like, I did a demo of it and I sent it to the guys. They, what stood out to them the most was the hook. So I was like, okay, at least we got the hook here. And yeah, the, what I was realizing, like, cause like during the pandemic, like summertime in the pandemic, I was fine. You know, like I was chilling. Like I wasn't feeling any type of, there was no weight on my shoulders or anything. It really hit me like October, November, December, basically the winter.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden it just got really, I felt, you know, just, there was a weight, like just following me, just on me all the time. And I was, while I was writing the lyrics, I was like, yo, who is this song about? Like, well, who is this person? I didn't date a nut, you know? and then I was like, no, this is about me. Like this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This person's me. But you know, and then like, once we got the song like down and we decided that we were going to get the single, like we were going to make this the first single. We hit up, someone I know called Liam Reyes, Boy Baby Blue. He's a producer, our producer. And, you know, he kind of, we sent him, what do you call them? The stems, Frank?
Yeah.
Yeah. We
nice.
We sent him the stems, and then he did, you know, he did the producer thing where, you know, he took stuff out, he put stuff in, and it became what it was. And then, we recorded it in a day, like in May. And by, I think,
wow,
almost exactly a month, the song was out. We recorded it on May 19th. The song was out June 18th.
Wow. That's awesome to hear. And how about like laying down like the instruments and stuff? Like, do it, Brian, is it like, I just want to hear Brian's voice, honestly, but did we like lay down the drums first kind of a thing?
Oh, baby. I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
What was really memorable to me, yes, I mean, we did do it element by element, but yeah. You know, with Liam's vision for the arrangement, it really brought us all together with Liam, the producer. So like, it was cool to take his influence, and you know, we're putting all egos aside, like we always do. I mean, we're keeping the big picture was, how's the song going to feel? How will it be presented? So drums, I mean, I got to channel my funk influence, and my biggest thing was Michael Jackson, Billie Jean. I wanted that tight, you know, drum beat, minimal tricks and flashes and stuff like that. But the thing is, on the track, there aren't too many producer tricks, if you will.
Yeah.
That's mostly us. It's just about all us. And then Liam's amazing arrangement with our arrangement, and a lot of serendipitous moments throughout the recording process where we found some cool magic and some inspiration when we were cutting vocals and like extra things and stuff. So it was just a good vibes day. And
yeah, it was,
you know, we were in need of that. It was good.
Yeah. And studio days aren't always like that too. So that's really good to hear. And I like that Mark had said, you know, kind of like the hook came first. Cause I feel like a lot of bands, not to say every song needs to be like the song and have the hook, but I feel like a lot of bands kind of overlook that, man. And I like the Mark. That was one of the first things that you said, man. And obviously like the vocals have the great hook, the song is so catchy. Let's talk, something I'm not as familiar with, but something I pay attention to. Let's talk about like the guitar and the guitar tones. Like, was that a lot of the producer stuff? Was that you guys like using different amps? Like what kind of tech went into the guitar and guitar tones?
Yeah. I mean, I barely played any guitar on it. Brendan did most of the guitar work on it.
Oh, he's the man.
Yeah.
So what I loved about the process is we gave Liam basically like a full-fledged demo, kind of like Frank nice. And Mark worked on it together in his studio. So like we had a bare bones thing, and then we kind of just sent it to him, and he kind of just like came up with parts. So like there's the high guitar part on there that Liam actually wrote that now I'm playing live. So he actually wrote that part. And then for me, I was just, I knew this song was all about the drums, all about the synth, all about the vocals. I didn't want to do too much. I wanted to just kind of lay that like that nice chunk in there, kind of so that you know there's a guitar in the song, so you know it's still a band, but it's like tight and kind of just, oh, that's a nice little rhythmic thing to it. So I didn't think too much about it, you know. And we plugged pretty much, we both used a twin reverb amp on the song. I mean, it was just pretty much direct Strat into a twin reverb. I mean, just classic tone.
Sounds great. Yeah, it's really awesome. And then Frank, I got to ask you, man, very, you know, Brian mentioned that funk influence, man. I love the bass on that one. Did it, was that like a fun one to write and play?
Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, a lot of that, like, main riff, I got to give credit to Liam. I mean, he, you know, when we were doing the demo for, when me and Mark did the demo, like the bass line, I mean, the riff alone was completely different. So the bass was a lot more, it was a lot more simple, honestly. It was very, yeah, like, it wasn't what it is now. And what happened was Liam got like that kind of melody going. And then I kind of expanded on it, did some fill. It kind of opened up my world to, like how Brian was saying, like my funk world, because then I, those fills that you hear in the second verse, those just kind of like, just, it just fit. Like there was nothing else that I could envision playing. And it just kind of came out. And the second I played it at rehearsal, I'm like, that's it. I'm not playing anything different. I remembered it. It was done. That's it. So yeah. Then when we got to the recording process, like those fills and everything else, that was completely in. And then actually the outro to the song is, I actually had to record it back at my place here because I didn't like the way I recorded it that day.
Classic. Like, yeah.
It was like, it was a little too simple, but then when I'm hearing it, like, I mean, we were all talking that the outro was just missing one little thing. Like it was just, something needs to happen. I'm like, I know what it is. And it was just this like disco thing that at the outro is the first time that I'll play like, dude it, dude it, dude it. Like I'm just playing this like disco thing. And I was like, you know what? Instead of driving an hour and a half, I'm just going to, Liam, just send me the track. And I'm just going to like send me the MP3. I'll record it, send it back to you and just place it in. So I just recorded the outro here and then sent it back to him.
That's what I like about you guys. Like, again, like, cause you don't always find that missing piece. You're just like, oh man, like I wonder like what is missing here? Like, what do we need? Obviously it's a cowbell. But I digress. I think, but that's good. Like you guys got that vibe, you know, it's one of those things like you wake up in the middle of the night, that's it kind of a thing. And I can tell in the track. So obviously we talked about adding the synth and adding the key. So Dennis, I'll throw this to you, man. Is this kind of like, The groundwork is there and there's a foundation and like the keys are kind of the icing on the cake, or is it more than that? Because I feel like the keys are so important in this song.
The keys are very important. I think that was part of the creative process. Also producing the song and getting the parts that we had, getting them together, and sort of the hook and the melody of the synth, which is different, of course, from the general hook of the song. But that first melody is basically the glue that holds that together. It comes in at the end again, if you listen for it at the outro, and it's in the background and then becomes a little bit more prominent, of course, for the last couple of hits. But I found that that was, of course, an important role that the synth played, but it's a very, it still has to be subtle, if that makes sense. Like, of course, you hear it in the first part and it's there. But for example, during the verse, I always found it too overpowering if every instrument's placed basically from note one or from bar one to bar to the last bar, every note that they have on their instrument, right? So there are parts where there's hardly anything going on and there's a slight swell to lead into Frankie's bass or things like that. And I see my role as in this song, yes, there's a lead melody, especially in the beginning, but it's really the whole feel of the song that comes with it. The synth alone, in my head at least, should never be the song. It's
right.
Kind of like when you listen to Jump by Van Halen. They have that great synth hook in the beginning, but then they also dial it back a little bit because there's other things going on in the song, which are more important. And it is, of course, guitar. It's the general vibe that comes out, the bass, and of course the vocals, and the same goes for this song, I have to say.
Very well. That's a good get for you guys. He's a smart guy. I can tell he knows his stuff. Good job out of you guys. Really well done by all you guys. And I want to talk about this. Like, you guys are, you know, there's several bands that I use that really have that Jersey sound. And I would put you guys in that column. I think we talked about that last time. Bands like Bobby Mahoney, obviously you guys come to mind right away, but with this new stuff, is it going out of your comfort zone a little bit by design? Because I think I read on the website you guys are going for more of an 80s pop synth. Yeah, an 80s pop synth. That's kind of like the song we just listened to. Is that the goal for the next album, or is it going to be a little bit of everything, or are we just going complete different direction?
Well, we're going in the direction of where Temperamental kind of, you know, it's kind of started, where, you know, it set the tone. You know, Temperamental definitely set the tone. And like, this just like during the pandemic, I got into all this type of music, and I was just like, you know what? Like, it's not the fact, it wasn't the fact that I was like getting tired of the Jersey kind of comparisons. It was more of like, I was getting a little fatigued from it. And I was just like, and especially as like, as a songwriter, I was just like, I want more, man. I want more than that. Like not to, you know, but not downplaying by any means, but I don't want to be stuck in a, in one category. If you want to be a great songwriter, you gotta let loose, man. You know, so I was lucky that, you know, I wasn't working for like a million years. So I discovered all this music, and, you know, we were all listening to different types of music during the pandemic, I'm sure, where it just kind of, the planets aligned for all that. And yeah, man, it's definitely more in the direction of Temperamental. It's not going to be like a drastic, you know, we're not going to be sounding like Post Malone or anything like that, where we're going to be using auto tune and shit, but like, it's definitely going to be more in that, you know, in a pop glam, you know, just sweet sound kind of summer kind of feel.
I think also, like, just to branch off of what Mark was saying, is that, like, I think that we all, you know, we want to, MSL is, you know, we live, sleep, and breathe it, you know, and it's something that we want to, you know, keep growing, keep getting, you know, keep getting the traction that we're getting. And we released, you know, these are our years when you, you know, interviewed us last, and that, you know, to do something that's the same as that, or like a 2.0 version of that, you know, you're kind of going on, you know, you're staying kind of level. And if you want to, you got to evolve at some point. And I think we all kind of knew that. And even though we're going in this direction, all of these new songs that we're going to be putting out, it's still MSL to its core. You know, even though, like, with you, when you hear Temperamental, the first 10 seconds of the song, you're like, your eyebrows raised. But then as soon as Mark's voice comes in, it's like, this is MSL. Like, there's some, it's not like, you know, some of these giant artists and bands who completely shift their, you know, their tone. And it's like, I like the, you know, that, you know, at the end of the day, we're evolving. And at the end of the day, it's still MSL. And with the addition of Dennis, that just helps to, just keeps us current with everything that people are listening to, and kind of keeps us in that realm.
Yeah. And there's two songs that inspired this entire thing.
Oh, really?
That's coming. There's a million bands, and there's a million songs that, you know, that I'm inspired by, but there's only two that really like punched me right in the face. And I'm like, we're going for it. One is Fragments of Time from Daft Punk, and two is She's American from 1975. Those are the two songs that I'm like, all right, this is it. We're going, you know?
I just wanted to say, I wanted to bounce off that too. Like, there was never a conscious thing of like, let's be more 80s. Yes. It was just kind of like, I always thought, to me, it was very natural progression. Like, Mark was just starting to write simpler songs, you know, less chords, less parts. And I think that lended itself to be more pop in general, because pop tends to be just more simplistic. And then when you add Dennis in, you know, I was coming up with melodic melodies and stuff over Mark's new songs. And then Dennis would kind of like mirror me, and we would start copying these melodic lines together. And it just kind of developed into sounding more retro and kind of more melodic. And it was just really cool. Like, all the songs have like that kind of, you know, you hear the guitar melody, but like there's a synth underlying everything, you know. It's kind of to me, it felt very like natural direction. There was no like forced change, like let's change our sound, you know, like that never really happened.
And I always felt like the second album needs to be your, I don't know, because the first album was it was more clean. It was more organic. It was more, you know, just like that. Like, it was the album. It's an album for your 20s, you know? And then your second album needs to have that, like, you got to come at them with torpedoes. You got to come at them with, like, you know, a little bit better, you got to be a better singer. You got to be a better writer. You got to write better parts. That's your sophomore album, bro. And if you don't do it then, you're never going to do it, you know?
But that's why I love the new stuff too, that we're doing, because I don't know. I've always just thought that better songs are more simple. in general. That's just the way I've always felt. My favorite songs, I'm like, I look them up and I'm like, this is three chords. Like, I'm just like, you know, so I like love the new stuff.
You said it perfectly, Brandon, about it being natural. That's really interesting to me because I think a lot of musicians write parts to almost impress other musicians, and you got to kind of look at your audience sometimes. And like you kind of said, that philosophy of less is more, you know, there's the running drummer joke, you know, this will get you fired, this will get you hired, you know, like, you know what I mean? I see Brian nodding his head, but you got to pick your spots too, bro. You know the deal.
That whole philosophy kind of drove our musicianship in a way, well, certainly mine, but this wasn't a big sidestep for us as musicians. We're the same musicians that are on These Are Our Years. We're expanding now for the people who have listened to Morningside Lane in the past and will now hopefully be listening to us currently and in the future. Morningside Lane's always been rock, and that's been great. And so when you talk about evolution and expanding, my thought is expanding this experience for listeners or spectators at a live show, where if you see us live, you're going to have, yes, five rock musicians by nature, but playing, you know, poppy, funky stuff and some rock moments too. So this is going to, it elevates the experience overall, not just on record, but how it translates live also. It's full of energy now. I mean, it always was, but it's really, it's full of like a new energy, and it's a new breath into Morningside Lane as an entity.
No, get me wrong. I love my Rosalitas and my Yes albums, but
yeah,
but there's something about a simple song that just like, you know, it like hits you in the heart more, you know? Yeah.
Very well said, guys. I can tell you guys are all very much on the same page. Like, it's not just, like you said, it's not just that Jersey rock anymore. It's not changed, but it's evolved. You know, you'll have the, you know, the guys in a crowd like this, but you also have the people kind of dancing. It's already been in the clubs. Like, that's wild to me. That's really cool. That's got to be such a good feeling, guys. I do want to ask, you know, I always ask like the scene kind of questions, so feel free to no comment. I tease, but basically I'm not hard hitting, I promise. But let's be real. Sometimes the music scene is very thankless, pay to play. And I, you know, I can look at it from both sides, you know, sell tickets, you know, I understand, get people in the door, promoters, all that thing. We all have stories. Let's be real. I feel like sometimes it can be very thankless, but I want to know what your guys' goals are, because you guys are making things happen. Again, I've paid attention to you guys. You guys are putting stuff out. Is it to play at the Starlands of the world? Like, to me, I see Starland putting out a lot of stuff. To me, I'm like, whatever band plays the first note of the first set on stage, like, that's super important. Like, who you pick. Hopefully, it's a local band, you know, to represent Jersey and all that. I would love it to be you guys. What are the goals moving forward? Is it to get a record, you know, signed with a record deal? Are there even record companies anymore? Like, what is the goal moving forward?
Really quick, if I could just step in
always
quickly with my personal goal right now, I think we're in a really solid position to just generate a lot of interest. I think that we have really solid songs and a solid sound and this really cool new energy live, where it's not just rock. You know, rock is multidimensional, but I've learned in, like, I guess my time in radio, that some people, some listeners who are casual music listeners, just don't like the sound of a guitar. Doesn't matter what tone it is, distorted, clean, whatever it is. Some people hear or even see a guitar on stage, they're like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah. And
we're so much more than that. So I think that we're in a really solid position to just gain new listeners and make new friends. So that's my short-term but indefinite goal. So
I love it. How about you other guys? What are the goals moving forward? Short-term, long-term?
I mean, you know, I used to be the guy to think I want to get, the goal is to get a record deal. And if we get a record deal, everything's going to follow. Or, you know, you think about yourself playing at, you know, huge venues. But at the end of the day, man, all I really want is just an audience that accepts us into their lives. Like, you know, just kind of just, you know, if I could see people out there just, you know, what's the word? I guess
responding
and engaging and feeling what we're feeling, but like different types of scenario. Yeah, man, like that's all I really wanted. And if a record deal comes out of it, hey, you know, but I just want to see those beautiful faces out there. That's all.
That's the right answer. All right. Very well said. Well, let's talk about playing shows, guys. I think, and I said this to you guys off air, I think the scene's going to be hopping. You know, unfortunately, venues have closed. You know, Brighton, you know, I have such a love-hate relationship with that place, but it's so sad to see it go. Such memories. But a lot, yeah, like a lot of venues have closed, but I think things are going to be strong now, and I'm not just saying that. I'm having more bands on the show lately. Like, I can see the musicians, and again, you guys have done a great job just keeping it going, but the musicians are putting their foot on the gas again. They're excited to play out. I know some that have played shows. Frank, I think you guys said you already played some shows and a lot of people are like ready to go and came out. Like, what are your guys' thoughts on the scene moving forward? Because I keep it very real, but I think people want to get out, you know, not say that this pandemic is over by any means, but I think people are ready to get out and support bands and just see shows. What are your guys' feelings on that?
Yeah, I mean, we did live streams, as you know. We did we used to do about a live stream every month in the fall, and then a little bit in the beginning of this year. And then we got contacted to play this festival in Jersey City called Pushing Up the Daisies by this promoter called Dancing Tony. He's really big up in North Jersey. And, you know, I had conversations with him, we talked as a band, and honestly it was probably one of the hardest decisions that we made to, you know, to play the show or not play the show. That was in, when was it, guys? Was it May? Okay, sorry. Yeah,
oh wow.
So we played it in May, and you know, at that point, you know, there was no talk of like restrictions being lifted. So I mean, we talked for hours. I mean, because it's like, not only is it, you know, of an area that we're not completely used to playing at, but it's like, at the same time, like, who's going to come, you know, is it worth it? Is it, you know, there's all these things and there's all these bands and it's like this festival type thing. And, you know, it's for a great cause. It's for their local cemetery to raise money for that. So it stays and it gets maintained and everything, which is fantastic. And I think they're doing another one in July, but long story short, we ended up saying, you know what, let's do it. We ended up doing it. And, you know, they're probably through the whole course of the day, about 300 people were there at this outdoor place where we were like, man, it'd be great if like 100 people like came. And then it was just, I mean, it was packed. It was awesome. And that was kind of like the first step in a reassurance, like things are going to start coming back. And then once June hit and like restrictions started getting lifted, Connor Bracken hit us up, cause we were supposed, I don't know if you remember, we were supposed to play a House of Independence show last year.
Yeah.
And it got rescheduled. We were supposed to do it in May, then it got rescheduled to, you know, whenever. Now it's on for August 6th and we're selling tickets and they're going quick. They really are. And they're going quick. It's August 6th and we're excited about it.
Love it. I'm excited to see you guys play live. That's really amazing. I'll try to make it to that one. I don't just like have you guys on the show. Like, I've been going out, even someone just played it at iPlay doing an acoustic gig. I'm like, I went out and supported. I want to support everybody, guys. And speaking of support, let's get that shameless promo in. You know, I'm all about it here on the BCP. We're not going to talk about the 50 other bands that Brian's in, but let's talk about Morningside Lane. I love you, brother. Let's talk about the social media and where everyone can download Temperamental and get tickets to the show. Shameless promo, go.
Go ahead, Frank.
you can get it on, I mean, it's everywhere. It's Spotify, Amazon, Apple Music, YouTube, all that great stuff. Yeah, I mean, all of our socials, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, on all this stuff. We just started with Reverb Nation. We're on there. We're number 10 in Reverb Nation, which that's pretty cool.
Congrats. That's huge.
You got a website now. Just if you just want to find us, morningsidelane.com.
That's what I love to say.
Yeah,
we're on everything, but you know what? You go to morningsidelane.com, you'll find everything you need.
That's what I should have said.
Yeah. I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it, Frank.
It's so great that we got that name. Like, I cannot believe we had it.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. Just don't be those people. I'll ask that question. People will just be like, just Google me. And I'm like, ew, like, don't be that person. Yeah. I can tell.
Don't Google us. You'll get like half like real estate things of Morningside Lane in like North Jersey. You'll get some listings. But if you go Morningside Lane band, I mean, we're all over it.
We got to give it to Brandon for being our webmaster. I mean, man built the whole website. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's so cool. I mean, that just speaks everything is internal. That from the start of it, through getting Dennis, through the pandemic, through now, everything's been an internal job. Our music videos, even one is coming soon for Temple Metal. So we're excited about that too. But
music video.
Everything down to MorningsideLane.com, all from us, from Brandon, from all of us. It's a really cool operation.
Anything you guys want to say to the fans, anyone who might want to come out, see you guys, or just excited to go back and support local music? Anything you guys want to say to the fans before we get out of here?
Yes, we're excited to be playing shows again. And if you want to come out to the House of Independence, hit any of us up. Go to MorningsideLane.com for more details. We will hook you up with whatever you want. And appreciate all the love for Temperamental that we've been getting. And keep listening to it. And I got one more thing to say, but I'm frozen right now. We got more new music coming, so don't get too comfortable.
Well, content is key, and you guys realize that. You guys are putting out stellar content. Thanks for making so much, some time for me. I really appreciate it, guys. It's an honor talking to you guys. Don't forget me when you're playing Madison Square Garden. And guys, just stay safe out there. Continued success. I hope to see you at House Independence, all right?
All right, brother. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, guys. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We're out. Peace.